Every day for 5 years, the protesters have been there blocking the loggers from entry. And now one of the world's largest logging companies has agreed to stop logging in Grassy Narrows. Members of the First Nations community in northwestern Ontario are celebrating the announcement by Abitibi Bowwater Inc. to leave the Whiskey Jack Forest. The logging is just the latest challenge the community has faced. Its people have also been devastated by mercury poisoning and a ruined economy. Roberta Kizik is still manning the blockade. She is a member of the Grassy Narrows Environmental Group.
Ms. Kizik, is it too early to start celebrating your victory?
Well, it's a big accomplishment on the part of not only ourselves, but on all the people that supported us, all the NGOs and just the public. It's been, you know, it's a big accomplishment.
It's a big accomplishment, but it's been a long time. This is probably the longest blockade that there's been in this country. Is that correct?
Well, the blockade, it's been like 5 years and more. But prior to that, we were already trying to stop the clear cutting. We were doing all kinds of things like letter writing, protests, and just having meetings at MNR and Abitibi. We did everything we could, and the last resort was this blockade. And it has been a long time, and I think, you know, we're still intent on continuing on with the blockade until we're allowed to just take care of the land as we always had, you know, since time immemorial under our laws.
Was there times, though, I mean, the blockade you've had for 6 years. Before that, you had what you're describing, these years of trying to get someone to care. Eventually, you did. You got the support you were mentioning from NGOs, Amnesty International, etc. But was there a time when you just didn't think that you were going to ever see this day?
There's something we've said, you know, among the blockade people, you know, we're mosquitoes and they're like an elephant, you know. So these people that have supported us, you know, helped us make an impact on that elephant. You make a big step, you know, like this. Hopefully we'll make another final big step, you know, where we remind the public that, you know, we never gave up our laws when we signed the treaties.
And your land.
And our land, yes.
Now, to what do you credit this withdrawal by Abitibi? Why do you think Abitibi Bowwater, I guess, are now called? Why do you think they withdrew from the Whiskey Jack Forest?
Well, I think definitely our persistence and our also the pressure, the campaigns from like all angles internationally. I think eventually, you know, they had to listen.
But do you think it was like a moral decision or do you think it was a business decision?
It appears to me like it was a business decision. They're just going somewhere else, I think.
Can you tell me about Grassy Narrows and about that forest, the Whiskey Jack Forest, what it looks like, how large it is, how important it is to you?
Well, the Whiskey Jack Forest is a term used by Abitibi. It's the, what they call their forest management area. For us, we know it as a Sapskusiogang, a traditional territory. In my own, like, because I'm out there quite a bit doing surveillance and just being out on the land, trying to do whatever we can to protect it. I estimate that only about 25% is left.
And what does the rest of it look like? What is the part that's been already cut down?
Just like big areas of clear cuts, and there's plantations, you know, just like it's going to take a long, long time for the forest to ever regenerate or revitalize itself. I don't know. It looks sad to me. And we're finding that Kenora, the nearest town to us, they're starting to get having deer coming into their and living in their town, and wolves is another problem. You know, that to me is like a sign of the health of the like the surrounding forest, which is like our territory. There's a lot of people that still hunt and like eat the moose and deer and the beavers and the fish. There's a lot of people that pick berries from grassy, and we're also starting to get back to picking wild rice. But the land, you know, it's like what makes us who we are, like in Anishinaabeg, like you know, the way we pray is from a sweat lodge, and the foods that we eat, like it's us, you know, like it's hard to, I don't know, that's the only way I could put it. If it's gone, we're gone too.
You've had such a difficult history with the way that Grassy Narrows community has been treated. You suffered from the mercury poisoning of your fish by industry. You've been moved and displaced. The land's been flooded by Ontario Hydro. Is this moment, this victory to get the control of the forest again? Does it give you any sense that maybe this you've turned a corner, that you can sort of claim your future?
I think it definitely does that for us. That you know, it gives us like hope that you know, we're being listened to. It gives our young people a purpose. It gives them a purpose in life. You know, and. You know, at least like with our persistence, we've been able to accomplish this, and it definitely encourages us to keep on fighting and keep on standing up and keep on speaking out and reaching out.
Well, I hope you have a chance to. I hope you savor at least this part of your victory before you set out on the next part of it. And I want to thank you for speaking with us today, Ms. Kisik.
Okay, thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Roberta Kisik is a member of the Grassy Narrows Environmental Group. The First Nation community is located in northwestern Ontario.